There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. You and I hanging out, lots to talk about. And the phone number, the text line, 343-0106. 343-0106. Go ahead and put that in your contacts list because it'll make it worth your while with your chance to win some goodies like, well, how about some tickets to go to the Mobile Boat Show that opens up tomorrow at the Convention Center? We're going to be down there for 3 days with the Guides Corner. If you've not listened to us on Saturday's show, Mike Ward and I host a show on Saturdays called FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, and usually it's a one-hour program, but for Boat Show Weekend, we do a two-hour program, and instead of doing it at 7 in the morning on Saturday, we do it from 10 to noon on Saturday. So we'll be live down there with that show on Saturday. Also tomorrow, this show, Midday Mobile, we'll open up the boat show at noon tomorrow. When they open the doors, we'll be here. We'll be there doing the show from the Convention Center. So come by and see us. But yeah, we'll be there with the Guides Corner, which is Mike Ward and myself and a host of the best fishing guides, outdoor folks along our neck of the woods, down there answering your questions, helping you out, and giving you some goodies as well. That'll happen tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Speaking of things that we'd like you to do when you stop by our booth at the Mobile Boat Show, which give you a quick description. I'll talk more about this tomorrow and over the weekend. But if you come down the escalators in the Convention Center, come down to the big hallway. You have glass windows on one side and the actual building on your off your left shoulder. When you make that left turn to go into the main Convention Center, heading down there, before you get there, right across from where Alabama Marine Resources is with their touch tanks and all that for the kids, which, by the way, Fetch and Fish Dog Show, you have the Marine Resources touch tanks, you have a youth fishing event going on, the chance for kids to learn about fishing, get some fishing gear, and learn how to. I mean, last year my son was making tackle, building components of tackle like popping corks and stuff. It's really cool. That's going on, plus the catching that goes on in the trout tank. So there's a lot to do with the kids. But as you're heading down there, you get right across from Marine Resources. Their touch tank, just to your right, will be our booth for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, and we'll have folks there throughout the weekend. And also, we'll have your chance to get registered for something we announced this morning. And we announced it through our buddy, our co-worker, Captain Bobby Abrascato, who does the fishing report with us, of course, on Thursday mornings, and will be a guest and a featured speaker with us over the weekend at the boat show. He announced a raffle for the Officer Sean Tudor Memorial Fund, and this is a great way to send money, raise money for the Officer Sean Tudor Memorial Fund that's housed with MPD. Okay? But the raffle, here's how it works. You're going to be getting your, making your donation. I'll explain this in a second. Making your donation, but this will put you in the running for a professionally guided fishing trip with Captain Bobby Abrascato for you and two friends. So it's pretty awesome. A custom built fishing rod, which Captain Bobby, over the last 3 or 4 years has been building these custom rods. I've been lucky enough to fish with a few of them. They are works of art, and they are machines. They're utilitarian and artistic at the same time. A fully stocked tackle box, the gear you need, plus we're hooking you up with more goodies to take on the fishing trip. All that is the raffle package. Now, how do you enter the raffle? You can go to our Go to our Facebook page. This link is pinned at the top. You can also go to the Facebook page for A-Team, like the old 80s TV show, A-Team Fishing Adventures on Facebook, or come to our website, fmtalk1065.com, and the first item up in the Three Big Things tab will be a link as well. You click there, it'll take you to this page on Captain Bobby's website. And from there, you'll make one click, and it takes you to the Officer Sean Tudor Memorial Fund that sits at mobilepd.org. Okay, this fund, or you could go straight there, mobilepd.org/memorial-fund. When you go there, you hit the donate tab, make your donation, and you'll get a receipt with that. That receipt is what you keep. That's your, I'm putting air quotes here on it, ticket, right? That's your, when you get the receipt from your donation, that is your entry into the raffle, because we'll have those numbers. And when we select a number, you'll be looking at your receipt there. From making the donation, and that's how you'll know if you win. We got from now through about another 5.5 weeks of the raffle for you to buy raffle entries, and you make the donation, you save the email receipt, and then listen to us coming up in late March. We'll do the drawing for this this great fishing trip and all the gear that goes with it, and 100% of the proceeds, no operating costs, no 100% of the proceeds, because y'all are doing it. You're going to make the donation to the Officer Sean Tudor Memorial Fund, and then you'll get the ticket. So 100% of your donation goes to that fund, but you get to get a chance of winning a pretty awesome fishing trip with Captain Bobby Abrascato. All right, so I want y'all to do that, and if you didn't get the website address or the Facebook, if you ever have an issue, you can't find something I'm talking about on the show, you can call 343-0106, and you'll talk to Dalton, or you'll talk to me, and we can get you hooked up with the information you need. I want you to take part in this. It's the right thing to do, and it's a really cool way to do it as well. You're making that donation to the family of Sean Tudor and the Memorial Fund, and you're getting a chance to win this great fishing trip. And I saw people on the text line, what if I win it? Do I have to take it, or can I donate it? Absolutely, you can donate it or gift it. So if you win the trip, and for some reason, I have trouble in my mind understanding, but you don't like to go fishing, or actually when you go with Captain Bobby, go catching. If you don't like that, then sure, you'll get a certificate. You can give that to family or friends as a gift. You can do what you want. You can donate it to a group. All that stuff's okay. But you got to do the first part and make that donation and then get in the raffle. All right, more details, like I said, on our Facebook page and the website. But we're just as close as 343-0106. You can make a call, and we'll give you all the info you need. All right, coming up on the show today, in hour number two, this is an exhibit I have yet to go to, but I'm really excited. At the Gulf Coast Explorium, Genghis Khan, the Great Civilizer. This is open for the next about 2 months, I think. And nice thing is, if you're going to be downtown for Mardi Gras, you'll be right there in the neighborhood. You can go check out the exhibit while you're downtown. But the Genghis Khan exhibit is open now at the Gulf Coast Explorium. Don Lessem is going to join us in hour number two. Now, Don is the exhibitor and the curator of this traveling exhibit on Genghis Khan. He's also, which is kind of odd, he's kind of gotten into the Genghis Khan world, but by trade, he's a dinosaur guy. I mean, if you look at Don Lessem, you may have, and you have children in the house that had dinosaur books, might be a chance one of them was authored by Don Lessem. He was also a consultant on Jurassic Park, a guy that was a friend of Michael Crichton's. The guy's been big in the dinosaur world, writing about it, doing books, and doing his own exploration, trying to find dinosaur bones of his own. And doing that, he took some time. He was in Mongolia, got really interested in this cat named Genghis Khan, and put together a world-class exhibit about Genghis Khan that's in our city now. We will talk to him about that coming up at 1 o'clock. Also, in just a few minutes, you'll get your Buc-ee's fix, because my buddy John Sharp from AL.com is going to join us. We'll talk about this lawsuit between the Oasis gas station and the Buc-ee's gas station, and what precedent is set. What is the Alabama law that they're working off of? It's from back in the 1980s. What's the actual letter of the law? We'll get into that and get John's comments coming up in just a couple minutes. All right. So that's on the way, and your calls and your texts at 343-0106, 343-0106. And remember, go online, make your donation to the Officer Sean Tudor Memorial Fund, and get in the running to go fishing. I'm sorry, scratch that. Go catching with Captain Bobby Abrascato.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Yeah, to double answer one of our texters about the Genghis Khan conversation. We'll have that with Don Lessem, the exhibitor and curator of the Genghis Khan exhibit, the great civilizer that starts, that we start that interview at 1. The exhibit open at the Gulf Coast Exploria right now. We'll get into that in the 1 o'clock hour. Now, something a little more modern, but maybe not less contentious out there, the discussion of the lawsuit for the against the brand-new Buc-ee's that has dominated so much conversation on social media. You would think it would be like the biggest story of the land, and it is pretty big if you look at the number of people that have gone and read what John Sharp had to write over at AL.com about it. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Your story's popping here about the federal lawsuit claiming Buc-ee's unfairly setting pump prices in Alabama.
Yeah, that's correct. It was filed the first of the month, about a week ago, by owners of the Oasis Travel Center, which is located off of Wilcox Road, about 4 miles to the east of the Buc-ee's, the new Buc-ee's, which is located at the Baldwin Beach Express, and has been the kind of the hot spot lately in the last, since it opened on January 21st. I don't know if you've been out there yet, but it seems like very crowded, popular new place that a lot of people are checking out. But the folks over at the competitors in the area are probably looking at it as going, oh my goodness. And so we had this lawsuit that was filed on February 1st claiming violation to a state law that Buc-ee's is unfairly pricing their fuel too low. And so that's kind of where we're at.
Well, okay, but the headline here says federal lawsuit. Is this a issue of is this under the feds, or is this specifically housed in Montgomery, this dispute?
Well, no, this lawsuit was filed in federal district court, and how, you know, as far as jurisdiction goes, I mean, I'm assuming it'll, perhaps maybe it'll shift to state court, I don't know, but right now it's filed in federal court, and basically it, it raises issues in regards to an anti-competitive situation that the owners of Oasis feel that is going on right now, with Buc-ee's showing up into the Alabama market and pricing fuel that would be in violation of a state law. So that, yeah, it is an interesting venue question, I suppose, that, this certainly is a question to ask, I guess. The question right now is whether or not, Buc-ee's is violating what is called the Alabama Motor Fuel Marketing Act, which was a law that was established, in 1984. So we're talking 35 years ago. And basically the law says, its original intent, it was actually signed into law during the last term of George Wallace, Governor George Wallace. And basically the law's intent was to make sure that, these smaller convenience stores could not be priced out of a market, so that, protecting competition, I guess, in theory, is the reason why the law was proposed back then. And it's been upheld by the court since. There's a little bit of history there. And today it's been utilized to ensure that big box retailers like Costco and Murphy Oil, which sells fuel through Walmart, cannot dip their prices so low that it's viewed as too competitive of an advantage for them.
Okay, well, a couple things. I mean, I wonder if the federal court is because of the chance that the gasoline came over state lines, right? That it would be interstate commerce. Maybe that's the reason, even though it's an Alabama law, it could have some standing in federal court. But the other part of it, you talk about this, the similar lawsuits over the years. So there is precedent set. Have you looked at those individual lawsuits against Costco, against Murphy Oil, the Walmart provider? Are they analog to the situation between Oasis and Buc-ee's? I mean, is it the same? Is the same kind of case? I mean, maybe they were used before, but was the same question in those cases? Like, hey, you've got somebody selling for less than, and how do you find out if they're selling for less than they're paying for it? I mean, can you get the other company to give you those documents? How do you know what they bought it for?
Yeah, I imagine that'll come out throughout this court process. But yeah, there is past precedence. Talking to the attorney that's representing Oasis in this, he's handled some of these cases before, and he was, you know, I'm kind of new to this issue. I'm reporting it from my, you know, this is something that isn't covered all that much here in Alabama. These issues, you know, and this law isn't really cited all that often. I think a lot of people are surprised by it. But, yeah, I mean, I was given some examples. The Alabama State Supreme Court upheld this law. It was challenged back in the early 90s. And it was not a case involving Walmart or Costco back then. It was another company called MAPCO. And at any rate, it was basically the same issue, a small convenience operator, protected by an interest group up in Montgomery that the way the pricing was being handled at the time was unfair to competition, and the state Supreme Court upheld their argument, and so that's where the attorney from Oasis is coming from. And it'll be interesting. You know, Buc-ee's is coming from a different perspective. They said that they're aware of the law. They just gave a brief statement in regards to it, and it looks like they might be trying to challenge the law. We'll see. But back in the early 90s, yes, the state Supreme Court upheld this particular law.
Hey, we're talking to John Sharp with AL.com. I've linked that story through on my Twitter feed, and you could read along and get the details. Plus, go to look at the actual post here on the verbiage of the law in Alabama. Okay, is this a question of, and if you've talked to the attorney, some, is it a question of antitrust, or we look at it busting up the monopolies, of historical import, or is this, you know, is it a question of vertical integration? Is it a question of fraudulent practices? I mean, what's at the meat of this? Or is it just like it reads in the Alabama law that you just can't do this? We're not backing it with any precedent. We're just saying you can't do this in Alabama.
Yeah, they're saying we can't do this in Alabama. This is the state is one of, I think, probably about 15 that have similar laws like this on the books. These are laws that date back, I guess they first started back in the 30s during the era of retail monopolies were starting to bubble up and trying to protect the smaller guy. And I think that's the theory behind this law, you know, that these small independently owned convenience store operators are in this market, and when the big box retailer shows up and they can dip the fuel prices below cost because apparently they can make, you know, their ends meet in other areas of their business. That this particular law is meant to protect these smaller folks, and so that's kind of the theory behind the law. Not every state has it. Texas, where Buc-ee's is certainly present at, they do not have this law in place. So, I think it's, you know, like I said, it's probably caught some folks in Texas by surprise. This story's been covered over there as well, because Buc-ee's is a fascination over there. And this is their first venture outside the state of Texas. So it'll be interesting, because they are challenging, essentially probably challenging this law. We'll see how it'll, you know, work its way through the legal process.
You know, it's pretty interesting when went through the link that you have in your story over at AL.com, and you read the language, it is specific, like you said, to motor fuel. It says motor fuel, because what they're saying is going on here. Somebody could do that if they were selling widgets. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't want to pry too much. Well, I'll expose later. But this happens in the broadcast business a whole bunch, when the big monopoly broadcasters come in, and you know, you have an independent, locally owned radio station fighting with them. They do that same thing in that business. You could do that thing if you're selling sweaters or aquariums or whatever. I mean, you could sell for less than you pay the wholesaler.
You're exactly correct, yes, but this is specific to fuel only, and apparently there was a challenge to this back in the early 2000s, I think it was 2004. The FTC came out with an advisory saying that, that this isn't needed. You know, there's federal anti antitrust law out there, and economists overwhelmingly say that, you know, these state laws are not necessarily, you know, they're to protect a particular competitor, but not protect competition or the consumer. And the FTC came out with a ruling in 2004, and at the time, the legislature thought about potentially repealing this law. It just didn't go anywhere. And there are some, you know, there are interest groups that support this law, the status quo. And so back then, for whatever reason, it did not advance through the legislative process. Now, would this be resurrected now? Hard to say. I haven't heard anything. And a lot of these issues are, you know, this issue with Buc-ee's, this lawsuit is so fresh. So it'll be, you know, that perhaps could be something that lawmakers take a look at again. But I haven't heard anything that might be coming down the pike.
All right, y'all check it out. Link up on the Twitter feed, or if they want to go directly to your Twitter feed, what's your handle?
Yeah, at JohnSharp99.
John, as always, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, John, thanks.
1230, FM Talk 106.5 News Break. Update on the weather from Dr. Bill, and then your calls and text, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1235, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Hey, let's do this, Dalton, as we get into this next segment here. Looking for caller number 6 right now at 343-0106. A family 4-pack of tickets to the Mobile Boat Show gets started tomorrow. Doors open at noon tomorrow. Family 4-pack of tickets, so you bring the whole crew out and hopefully stop by and see us at the Guides Corner booth. That is caller number 6 at 343-0106. Been telling you about shaving with Harry's for, gosh, it's been, I think, 4 years now or something. Yeah, probably 4 years. Number one to the whole experience shaving with Harry's is the fact that the shave is great. The blades are great. The shave is quality. Everything beyond that is just icing on the cake. And there's a whole lot of icing on this cake. All right. You have the fact that you get a great shave. You pay half what you're paying right now for replaceable blades at the pharmacy or at the grocery store. And on top of that, you have the blades delivered to your house, so you don't have to remember. You never have a dull blade at 9:30 on a Sunday night when you have a big meeting on a Monday. And they're waiting for you. They figure out how many you need, and those blades show up. You can tailor that delivery specifically for what works for you. And right now, absolutely the best deal. Those of you who've been on the fence, heard me talking about Harry's over the years, this is the best deal ever to get in and see what I'm talking about. You can join the 10 million of us who have tried Harry's. You'll get their 5-blade razor, their weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover, just $3 plus free shipping when you use our code MOBILE at harrys.com. That's a limited time deal. Harry's has a special offer for y'all. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. That means you get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3. Including free shipping when you use code MOBILE when you go to checkout at harrys.com. So go to harrys.com today, use code MOBILE at checkout, and claim your offer. Let them know I sent you, and sell them hi from all of us right here at FM Talk 106.5, and help support the show and what we're doing around here. Y'all, great shave, great item, harrys.com. And congratulations to Leslie. Just picked up a family 4-pack of tickets to the Mobile Boat Show. That goes on starting tomorrow through Sunday. And we will see you down there. Leslie, I know you have a crew. Bring those kids, because a bunch of kids' activities going on at the boat show, whether it be the trout pond where the kids can go catch trout, because believe me, they're going to catch and not fish. Those trout are ready to eat. Or maybe the touch tank there for Alabama Marine Resources, or the kids' fishing event. They have so much going on for the whole family at the boat show. It really is a great time to get out if you can Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And make sure to come by and tell us hello. All right, a couple items, and then we're going to get to a conversation with Dr. Joe Fontenot as well. He's going to join us here at the end of the hour. And reminder, if you're just joining us, 1 o'clock hour, second hour of the show, Don Lessem, the guy that put together, the exhibitor, the curator of this Genghis Khan exhibit, the great civilizer that's at the Gulf Coast Explorium. Don really kind of got into the world of the Khan as a dinosaur hunter dinosaur bone hunter. He's pretty famous for it. I mean, he's a consultant on Jurassic Park, a buddy of Michael Crichton's, of course, who wrote the book. He's really intelligent guy, neat guy. And he was in Mongolia digging for dinosaur bones, one of the hot spots to do that, and really got interested in Genghis Khan. And he's going to join us at 1 o'clock to talk about the exhibit that's right here in Mobile for the next couple of months. But I do want to do this. Before I run out of time on this, I want to get a little bit of Elizabeth Warren going on here. Not just for the, you know, the partisan fun like everybody has of you know, lampooning. What was I doing last time? It was Elizabeth Warren and her Instagram feed or something where she was trying to act normal, like she just hangs out the house and drinks beer and she's not stiff like a robot. Remember that? Okay. This is back to the claim of Native American heritage. And I'm just going to do a little bit on the story because I want to launch into something else with this, and we'll see if you agree. So here's the clip. Here's the clip you probably maybe already heard on Westwood One News of Elizabeth Warren apologizing for not just recently, but years ago claiming Native American heritage, not just like saying it, listing her race as American Indian on the State Bar of Texas registration back in 1986. Here's what she had to say.
I'm not a tribal citizen, and I should have been more mindful of the distinction with tribal citizenship and tribal sovereignty. And that is why I apologize to Chief Baker and why I've made a very public apology.
Doesn't the beginning of that sound like what you had to write on the... I know y'all didn't because you never got in trouble, but what I had to write on the chalkboard, like if I was talking in class, I will not talk in class. You have to write it like 500 times. Doesn't it sound like...
I'm not a tribal citizen, and I should have been more mindful of the distinction with tribal citizenship.
I can almost picture her writing that on the chalkboard. The story here goes, and listen, it's easy just to go surface on this and play the partisan game and na-na-na-na-na-na, because there's some handles on this. Washington Post reporting showed a previously unknown instance of Elizabeth Warren claiming her race as Native American, and the first document that appears to definitively show Warren making the claim in her own handwriting. According to the Post, Warren had previously declined to answer whether she or an assistant filled out the forms in which her race was listed as Native American. Warren's longstanding assertions of having Native American heritage have dogged her political career and provided fodder for attacks from President Trump. Her use of DNA testing to confirm her limited Native roots last year was met with fierce criticism from some Native American groups. The prospective 2020 Democrat presidential candidate is expected to formally announce her entrance in the race on Saturday after forming an exploratory committee on New Year's Eve. Okay, so blah, 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 blah. So there's the story. It's just more of the same with Elizabeth Warren. But when she did the DNA test, or back when she claimed this in 86, I want to just, even though it's a catalyst for this discussion, but separate it a little bit. I think the reason the ancestry stuff is so popular, the DNA test, and I absolutely am somebody who's had it done. I was part of over a decade ago, one of the early projects National Geographic did. My mother and I were part of it. We're part of a beta test on that. And then it's done it as recently as the last couple years with the ancestry stuff. Part of it is absolutely legitimate to put links together. It's been amazing. I mean, some of the things I knew about my lineage, some connections to people that I never knew that only through the internet, only through the mapping of the human genome, can you figure all this stuff out. It's really cool. I like that stuff. There's also part of it, I think there's a desire among, I'm going to say it's going to be white people dominate this. It's going to be a white people thing. To find some heritage in your DNA that you can say, I'm not completely white. I'm Native American, which I, out of all the things to be, I can see Elizabeth Warren's desire to be Native American. It'd be, you know, obviously a tough history, and some folks I think that have a absolute beef and got a lot of raw deals over time. But there's something in the romantic sense of it that people, I can understand that very much so. But whether it be that you have some DNA that you don't look like, right? So a group or hailing from somewhere or something like that. It for some people, I think the popularity of doing these ancestry tests and trying to find it is this ability to absolve themselves, they would feel. Well, I can say this because I know I look white, but I have, you know, this heritage or mixed heritage or something like that. Like, it's some kind of shield to be able to say something that if you didn't have anything but white heritage, you couldn't say. That it's some sort of blessing, absolution, some blood over the door that gives you a pass. Now, does Elizabeth Warren see it that way? I have a feeling there's a strong bent to this. Of course, she did this in 86, well before any genome mapping or anything, but it does give you somewhat of an idea of I have a protected status. I look this way, but no, you don't know this about my heritage. Like, if I met somebody that legitimately had that, cool. It's also a conversation starter, right? It's cool. Oh, I didn't know that. It's really cool. Tell me more about it. So it can serve as a cocktail party conversation item, but it also can serve as some sort of shield or protected class status with people. So I think the allure of this, now, Elizabeth Warren's story is a little bit varied here, but I think it's a catalyst for the bigger discussion of that. I'm pointing at myself. I'm somebody that has the ancestry test done. I'm very interested in the genome mapping. I love all that stuff. And I think you can absolutely take part in it, see it, and do it legitimately. I mean, I'm finding out about a whole part of our family that I really never even heard legend of, right? Lives in another part of the country. I think that's really cool. The connections you can put through, and then you can go look at the pictures of people that have your same genetics and start, you know, go, do they look like me? They kind of do. That part is really cool. But I think there's also an allure for these, whatever you want to call them, genome mapping, ancestry test, whatever it is. And the desire there is to be able to claim something new, not just to be an interesting conversation item when you're at the sitting down at the bar, but somehow when you get in some political discussion, something that you said this, and you want to try to defend yourself, you go, hey, wait. Now, you don't know. I have exempted status here because you don't know this about my heritage. So I wonder how much of that is driving the sales of those items. Just an idea. I just have ideas. All right, coming right back. Dr. Joe Fontenot joins us. He's medical director of the Community Services for Vision Rehabilitation. February is age-related macular degeneration month. He's got some tips on making sure you can see into your golden years, what you can do to protect yourself. He'll talk with us about it next. Stay close.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along and good to have Dr. Joe Fontenot back in studio and medical director of the CSVR, which, Dr. Joe, if people have not heard you before, what is CSVR?
Community Services for Vision Rehabilitation.
And y'all are local, doing your work right here in our neck of the woods.
Right. We're at 600 Bel Air Boulevard here in Mobile, and we see people in Daphne also, and in Montgomery and in Gaucher. So we
wow.
But our main office is in Mobile, again at 600 Bel Air Boulevard, just immediately next to the Bel Air Mall.
We're going to talk about what you do there, but you come see me different times of the year with different issues when it comes to vision and our health. And you said this month, February, is age-related macular degeneration low vision awareness month. Now, you're going to have to take an uneducated guy like me and explain what that is.
Well, age-related macular degeneration is the most common cause of vision loss in the United States. Now,
really?
As the name implies, it is primarily in older people, and many years ago was regarded as a natural part of aging. You just, quote, lost vision.
Mm-hmm.
But there is treatment available now. It is important that people at age 65 have a vision examination by an eye doctor and look and see if there's any evidence of this, because certain types of macular degeneration can be treated relatively effectively. And so this is only in the last dozen years or so. So the majority of cases of this are relatively slow slowly progressing and cannot be treated, but some types, the more aggressive types, so-called wet macular degeneration, can be effectively treated. So it is important that people be aware of it and be checked.
How would we know, just in a general sense, that if somebody has this wet, has something that's moving faster than the normal, I guess, chronic version?
Right. Well, the only way you would know is by having an eye exam by an eye doctor. But you can know if you're more likely to have this. It's more likely in whites than in blacks.
Okay.
It's more common if you smoke, if you have high blood pressure, if you don't eat a good diet, if you don't exercise. Very similar risk factors to coronary artery disease and stroke. So
wait, then, and I'm following this then. If you're talking about, you went down that list, exactly, arriving at coronary disease and stroke, are the eyes getting starved of blood, or what's happening here? Is there a layman's version of this?
It's a degenerative process of the retina, which is the light-sensitive thin layer in the back of the eyes, and it's an accumulation of abnormal deposits of tissue, which stay there and then gradually enlarge and then can cause bleeding and fluid in the eye. Now, that is what can be treated. So again,
how do you treat that? I mean, do you have a...
There are some drugs available now which are injected directly into the eye.
Everybody just winced, Dr. Fontenot.
And it doesn't seem to be that bad. I've never had it myself, but the people who have had it almost all say it's not bad. It's easily tolerated, and they can very commonly come back for a series of these shots. So it's rare that people will drop out.
By the way, reminding you all, it's February and age-related macular degeneration, low vision awareness month. So what about the extreme here? What can be done if the vision loss has occurred here? People feel like, oh, I wish I would have heard you last year, the year before. It's still worth coming in?
Right. Yes, it is. And we have all sorts of measures that will enable people to be able to continue to read, to use their computer, to function relatively normally, despite often very severe vision loss. So, again, that's what we personally do at CSVR. We work with people who have already lost some of their vision because of macular degeneration.
And you were saying, once again, that this is, while age and ethnicity is part of it, you can help yourself by, like you would help the rest of your health. I mean, your healthy living helps ward this off.
You should not smoke. Smoking will make you at least twice as likely to develop this. And
twice as likely?
At least. Yeah, maybe even closer to three in some people. Family history is important. If you have people in your family who have had macular degeneration, you are much more likely to get it. If you have a diet which is devoid of green leafy vegetables and fish, that makes you more likely. Exercise is important. It's been shown that people who exercise regularly are probably about 70% less likely to develop macular degeneration.
So it's not just making sure you can keep putting the pants on, that they don't get too tight. It's actually good for your vision, too. I want to, as you mentioned something, I just kind of dispel rumors or confirm. You mentioned green vegetables and part of the diet. The old thing that our mothers told us about eating our spinach is good for vision. Does that bear out in science at all?
It does seem to be true. Green leafy vegetables have lutein and zeaxanthin in them, and those two chemicals do seem to help protect against vision loss and against more rapid progression of age-related macular degeneration.
Wow. So there's a bunch of mothers saying, see, I told you so.
Right.
Okay, if somebody is listening to us right now and says, hey, I'm kind of recognizing some of what Dr. Fontenot is talking about here, best thing to do for them to give you a call, or what should they do?
They should first of all get an eye examination.
Okay.
With an eye doctor, what's called a dilated eye exam, and then the doctor might want to then do some other tests. But they should come and see us if they have any problem with reading, with looking at their computer screen, any problem with actually seeing. And also, if their doctor advises them to come and see us, we'd certainly love to see them.
All right. Any concluders, any closing thoughts people need to know this month and all the other months of the year?
Right. The main thing is, if you have the things that we just discussed, so-called risk factors for macular degeneration, or if you have any symptoms, that is any blurring of vision, difficulty reading small print, you should have an eye examination.
There you go. And that this month and all the other months of the year, Dr. Fontenot, I appreciate your time. Appreciate you being on the show. And I'll give the phone number just to make sure people can jot this down. Or if they want to call us at the station, you're going to leave contact info with us. It's 476-4744. It is February, an age-related macular degeneration low vision awareness month. Tell us more about it. Dr. Joe Fontenot, thanks.
Thank you, Sean.